It's time for Inside Churchill Downs. Now, here are your hosts, John Asher, Darren Rogers, and Kevin Kirstein.
Well, we've got two-thirds of that group here. Kevin Kirstein, still on vacation, and we're wishing him the best. I've got a feeling he's going to tune into this at some point. Welcome to Inside Churchill Downs. In a week of transition for us, along with Darren Rogers across the way, I'm John Asher. Here with you for the next hour to talk about all things racing. Some big races this weekend, but again, some couple of notable passings. One, the end of a short but spectacular career. And the other, the loss of a good friend in Kentucky racing this week. So good to have you with us here on Inside Churchill Downs. Mr. Rogers, here we are.
Yeah, good evening, John.
Summertime is here.
Big show tonight, and Mike Smith is going to join us, Hall of Fame jockey. We'll talk about Justify and other top horses that he's still riding.
If we talked to you about all the top horses he's ridden, we would be here for the next several weeks.
Wouldn't we be?
It would be quite an impressive run.
Also, we'll check in with Monmouth Park track announcer Frank Miramonte, because Sunday's the big day at Monmouth, the Haskell.
Haskell Invitational and other stakes races on the card. Another one of two real multi-stakes cards this weekend. Saratoga has, what, five? They have five tomorrow? Four tomorrow or five tomorrow?
They have four tomorrow.
And then five for Haskell Day.
Six for Haskell Day. So, I mean, it's action-packed weekend, and we started with one today. And by the way, excited about these two guests. We haven't had either one on the show before.
We have not. They're both firsters, and always thrilled to have Mike Smith, who I have known. Mike, I've been around a long time. Mike's been around a long time. I met Mike early in my tenure at Churchill Downs, and he's still riding top of his game at the age of 52, and a Hall of Fame jockey, and of course now a Triple Crown winning jockey, along with two Kentucky Derby wins under his belt. So we're thrilled to have him here, and Frank Miramonte has he's got that racetrack itinerary. You look back over his career, he's made a lot of stops, but in a couple of good spots right now. He's at Monmouth Park, calling the races there at that beautiful meet. A lot of good things happening at Monmouth too. We'll talk not only about the races, but they have got sports betting underway up there, and we'll chat about that, and among other things. And Frank also calling over the winter at Aqueduct, and so it's he's a busy guy right now. We're glad to have him on the show for the first time, so that's coming up.
So yeah, right around the corner. Yeah. But let's start with news of the week. But let's go with the most recent news, which was about 15 minutes ago.
Yes,
they ran the Curlin, which is the Jim Dandy Light at Saratoga, but a pretty convincing win in the slop by Hofburg, the Belmont trained Hofburg, won convincingly, 150 and 18/100ths, nice little stepping stone to the Traverse Stakes.
And exactly that, his first race since his third place finish in the Belmont Stakes after that tough journey in the Kentucky Derby, which he closed impressively, didn't get close to winning, but had a tough way around the racetrack that day. And Bill Mott still speaks incredibly highly about this horse, and those who are believers in Hofburg, and I must admit, for purposes of clarity, that I am one of those.
Yes, absolutely.
I'm a big fan of Hofburg.
Nice horse.
I was really impressed by that effort by him today, and we'll see him next if all goes well in the Travers, and that would be the next step, one would hope, on to the Breeders' Cup Classic here at Churchill Downs in early November.
So the Curlin kicked off week two at Saratoga. We hope you had some success betting opening weekend programs at Saratoga and Del Mar at the Spa on Saturday. Even money favorite Sister Charlie got up to beat 15-1 Ultra Bat by a nose to give trainer Chad Brown his fourth win in the Grade 1 Diana. And then Starlight Racing's two-year-old Sambaye ran down the Churchill Downs maiden winner Strike Silver by a neck in the Grade 3 Sanford. And then earlier on the card, John, did you see the Steve Asmussen-trained maiden winner?
I did.
Nitrous?
Yes.
The Tappet colt out of the stakes winning mare Speeding Through the City broke his maiden by 3 1/4 lengths. To these eyes, appeared to be running faster than the Samford winner. Mm-hmm. I love Nitrous.
Do too. And he was beaten just a nostril here at Churchill in his debut by Strike Silver. And had a little bit of a tough journey that day. I kind of dropped back on the turn, came running again, but a big effort. Early returns on the two-year-olds. This is always the case with Steve Asmussen, who was a two-year-old, has been his bread and butter for years. Have been one of his power divisions for years. But I really like what I've seen so far in this group. I mean, we had We had one of his horses win the Bastard Banner at Churchill mm-hmm. Downs, and I can't believe he's anywhere near the top of the list in the talent in Steve's barn. So a lot of Asmussen horses we'll be looking at over the coming weeks and months.
On Sunday at Saratoga, it wasn't much of a race after all, as Monoboy Girl easily won for the eighth time in nine starts. She handled Midnight Bazoo by a comfortable three lengths in the Grade 1 Coaching Club American Oaks. That was a pretty nice victory. Midnight Bazoo just not good enough.
Not good enough. And she just it looks to me that Monomoy Girl is just getting better. Just getting better and moving on toward the Alabama and races like that. And, of course, one would hope.
She's actually going to go to Parks.
Yeah, she's going to Parks first.
For the Cotillion.
Yeah.
She's going to skip that.
Yeah.
Right now the favorite for three-year-old filly honors. But we'll get to another one that's making some noise in just a second.
Yes.
At Del Mar, bloodstock agent and private clocker Gary Young, he was our guest last week, and he was spot on the John Sadler-trained Catalina Cruiser, successfully stretched out to beat Dr. Door by 6 3/4 lengths in the San Diego Handicap. Stablemate Accelerate was scratched. He'll train up to the August 18th Pacific Classic. Catalina Cruiser will kind of be rested for the Awesome Again. He'll try to use that as a stepping stone for the November 3rd Breeders' Cup here at Churchill Downs, running in the Classic. By the way, we're 98 days away.
Yes, we are. And again, as Darren mentioned, listeners to this radio show and podcast a week ago heard Gary Young talk about Catalina Cruiser.
Well, did you hear him talk about the Jerry Hollendorfer trained 2-year-old maiden winner Rowayton? He told you about him, and he was an easy, professional, and fast 4-5 winner of his debut, and he was a free square, thank you very much, in the late pick 4 and the pick 5 so, for yours truly.
Yes,
so that was nice. On Sunday, another exciting young prospect. We love those. Bob Baffert debuted 2-year-old filly Mother. She rolled by 6 1/2 lengths. And I love this because it sets up a very exciting possibility later in the Del Mar meet in the Sorrento. The Del Mar Debutante mm-hmm. is where they would probably meet. But you recall Hollendorfer had the big opening day winner in Brill. Those are very fast 2-year-old fillies. Brill and Mother. Keep those names written down. They'll be stars in the making.
Those annual reasons to keep us smiling during the summer months as these youngsters start popping up. And these two have been super impressive.
How about congratulations to our friends Carl Moore, trainer Brett Calhoun, and Brian Hernandez. Finley's Lucky Charm ran down the Asmussen trained Vertical Oak on Wednesday in the Grade 2 Honorable Miss Handicap. She won by 2 1/4 lengths. She's now won 11 of 17 starts.
Never runs a bad one. Reading Brett's comments after, you know, she ran fourth mm-hmm. on Derby Day mm-hmm. in the Humana mm-hmm. and in the Humana Distaff, and Brett just he doesn't believe, you know, she can get over it, but doesn't believe she handles a wet track the best. And there was rain early in the day at Saratoga, but
it's been rain all week. Ooh.
Dried out nicely in time for her, and Finley's Lucky Charm, an impressive winner. Congratulations to those connected.
And by the way, I haven't looked at today's card yet, mm. but Finley's Lucky Charm and Nitrous are 2 of 9 last race winners at Churchill Downs on opening week at or through the first 6 days at Saratoga. Jess I Am for Brad Cox, Chocolate Kisses for Mark Cassie, The Red Dude for Ron Moquette, Ruby Notion for Darren Miller, Indigo Yankee for Ian Wilkes, Four Knights for Joe Sharp, and then the coach, Wayne Lucas, La Vie Verte, also got the job done. It would have been 10, John,
yes,
if the 2-year-old filly Super Simple would have not been DQ'd in the nightcap yesterday for trainer Steve Asmussen. Do you think he took it well?
I'm guessing not. You know,
it was controversial.
Yes.
It was controversial. Okay, now the filly I know you really want to talk about on Wednesday.
Filly we've talked about in the past here, the runner-up in the Kentucky Oaks mm-hmm. you're talking about here, and that's Wonder Godot for Mark Cassie, won the second leg of the Canadian Triple Crown this past Wednesday, mm-hmm. and she is headed, it appears, to the Alabama in her next start, but Big race in the Kentucky Oaks. She stumbled in a race in Canada and has dominated the boys in her last two races. Caught the mud
and that was
last
nice.
One
and the slot
just rolled.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, won by 5 3/4 lengths. Do you know the last horse to complete the Queen's Plate Prince of Wales double?
The Queen's Plate Pr- Prince of Wales.
It happens to be the last and Canadian Triple Crown winner.
The last one would not be Dan Smartley, would it?
No, it was Wando.
Wando, okay.
In 2003. And the $400,000 breeder stakes at a mile and a half on turf at Woodbine on August the 18th is the third and final leg of the Canadian Triple Crown. But you're exactly right. They're going to bypass that in favor of the Alabama at a mile and a quarter on the dirt, which happens to be the same day.
All male three-year-olds bred in Canada are ecstatic about that news.
They're trying to get a three-year-old championship honor, but with Monomoy Girl going to the Cotillion, they're not going to have a chance to face there. So it's all going to come down to the Breeders' Cup distaff at Churchill Downs on November the 3rd. So,
racing news.
Couple more. Two-time Kentucky Derby winning jockey Victor Espinoza, he's on the mend. But in a neck brace for at least 6 weeks, he fractured his C3 vertebrae Sunday morning in a workout at Del Mar. The purse for the Dubai World Cup's now $12 million, if you didn't see that. The winner will now receive $7.2 million. And then I think this is the third week in a row, John, but condolences again to Betty Kalin and the rest of the family and friends. A veteran trainer, Forrest Kalin, he passed away from natural causes yesterday at age 83. He was the dean of the Churchill Downs backstretch of all the trainers. 57-year training career, won 344 races at Churchill Downs, and that ranked 14th all-time. His top horses, De Devil, Good Lord, Vodka Collins, and Crimson Classic. I know you have some fond memories of Forrest.
He's a tremendous individual. One of my favorite people that I've met in all my years at Churchill Downs. And one of those people, one of those rarities that I don't ever recall seeing him without a smile on his face at some point. He just was always beaming and always happy to talk to you. But I've got two favorite images of Forrest Kalin. One was at the 1997 Kentucky Derby, in which Forrest had Crimson Classic in that Kentucky Derby. And I remember walking toward his barn one morning, and there's Forrest. And at his side of the barn, and he's located just across the way from Hall of Famer Dwayne Lucas. So here's a media throng around Forrest after the horse had just worked. And across the way, there stands Wayne in his cowboy hat all by himself. It was one of the greatest things I've ever seen. And there was no photographer that took a shot of that. All I can tell you is it's in my memory. I've never forgotten. It was just a great, great moment. And I also remember, too, along with Forrest's accomplishments. And, as you mentioned, he had a nice horse named De Devil who won the Kentucky Cup Classic up at Turfway Park, and had some nice horses over the years. But he won the first two runnings of the Stephen Foster Handicap at Churchill Downs with a horse named Vodka Collins. The race was then worth $25,000. And a few years ago, remember, we had one running of the Stephen Foster Handicap. The biggest purse ever was, did we run it for $1 million there?
Yeah, the year Curlin won it.
The year Curlin won it, we had it for $1 million. Mm-hmm. And I remember asking Forrest, so what do you think of this, Forrest? You got a horse, you got a race you won twice, and it's $1 million now. He says, I deserve some back pay, is what he said. $25,000, you know, the memory's nice, but a little cash would have been a little better with that $25,000. But Forrest, just a great individual. And also, an important thing in his career, and I've mentioned this to you for years, that I need to go talk to him about this. Forrest was a jockey before his training days, and Forrest once won races on consecutive days at Churchill Downs with a single horse.
The same horse.
The same horse won one day and came back and won the next day. Horse got stuck in one of the races when they were trying to scratch and the stewards wouldn't let him out. so they had to run in both races and won both of them.
That's
so
awesome.
He's the only guy that I know. There may have been some others in the long history of racing here in Kentucky and Churchill Downs, but Forrest Kalin was aboard a horse that won on consecutive days, races on consecutive days at Churchill. One of a kind, Forrest Kalin, one of the truly, truly great people in thoroughbred racing, and we will miss him.
Yeah, he'll be truly missed. And another one that we'll miss, Triple Crown winner Justify.
Yeah.
He was officially retired on Wednesday. The filling in his ankle has not subsided quick enough for a fall campaign, according to trainer Bob Baffert. So that's it. He's going to be paraded at Del Mar tomorrow, and then he'll return to Windstar Farm early next month. Windstar's Elliot Walden did confirm that a possible sale to Coolmore is in place, but it won't be finalized until a later date. So, you know, John, all Derby winners are special, but, you know, Justify was a rare, superior horse that, you know, he accomplished so much in such a brief span. He's going to leave us with that four-month period, so many memories that we're going to recall. And look, great is great. I know it wasn't a long duration, but what this horse did on the racetrack was truly, truly special. We had John White on the show a couple of weeks ago, and he thinks he'd be ranked around 30th all time. Mm-hmm. Think about that. All time, 4.5 months.
Yeah.
Or 4 months, really, on the racetrack. He's a good horse.
No question. And, you know, you look at each of the 13 Triple Crown winners over the history, each of those 13 horses that won the Triple Crown, and they were all amazing in their own way. You know, you had all the way back to Sir Barton, who won the Kentucky Derby as a maiden. You know, his first career win came in the Kentucky Derby. And you look over these horses all the years, and they had their distinctive things about each of them, and no two of them quite alike. But none like this horse. I mean, this was just a remarkable, remarkable stretch of either 111 or 112 days. What's our official count on?
Well, I've seen two.
I've seen
two from people I respect, and I haven't counted myself.
I haven't done
so
it either.
So I don't know if we're talking about the day before or whatever, but, you know, Jay Privman says one number. Yeah. Tim Layden says another from Sports Illustrated. They're both reputable.
That period of time.
Less than 4 days.
I mean, you could not have envisioned this happening. I mean, the Derby's a demanding and a grueling race. How many great horses have we seen come up short for top trainers, top connections? And this horse coming in was not the top Derby horse in the barn, I don't think, when the year started. I mean, we all talked about McKenzie back for Bob Baffert back in those days. And this horse was, under the radar, certainly, to the racing world. But once he stepped forward, it was nothing but forward strides. And just remarkable.
I love the story, and I don't know if I've told it on the air or not, but Umberto Gomez, mm-hmm. Who is the exercise rider for Justify, and he just started working for Bob on January the 1st.
Yep.
You know, previously galloped horses for Bobby Frankel back in the day, galloped horses most recently for Doug O'Neill, and they brought him on board to exercise the horses, and he got on Justify, and he also was aboard McKenzie, and he knew how much Bob thought of McKenzie, but he always felt Justify was a better horse.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't know how to break it to Bob. You know, and so he'd get off the horse, and he says, do you think Justify's good? He says, oh, he's good, boss.
He's good.
Exactly. Real good, boss. Real good. And then he would come back and go with McKenzie, and he'd say, how'd he go? And ultimately he said, listen, is he good or is he McKenzie good? He goes, he's better than McKenzie, boss. You know, and Bob just kind of went, huh, you know. And
yeah.
So that's when that kind of changed. But we're excited about the prospects of the second half of the year for McKenzie. But Justify, really, really stamped himself in a brief period of time in my eyes. Now he's got the question marks. Did he ever beat older horses?
Mm-hmm.
Nope. Never had that opportunity.
And we still don't know what he's beaten at this point. I still think this group of 3-year-olds is not bad. And we're going to see how they move forward in the coming weeks and this year, next year. And if those horses...
What's the old Wayne Lucas saying?
Which one?
About crops. You can't really judge crop until 10 years after
There was the old line, I think Charlie Whittingham had said you don't ever say a bad thing about a horse until he's been gone at least 10 years because he'll make a fool out of it.
Yeah, so that's true.
So the test of time really, really will be a test for this horse. I mean, he was remarkable on the track, did just magical things on the racetrack, and I don't think anybody doubts he's a superior racehorse. Again, tough to rank him with some of the other greats because he did not face, as you said, older horses and face some competition not as unproven as he, but still some horses that were fairly lightly raced. But we'll get to see Good Magic this week in the in the race at Monmouth, and tomorrow Vino Rosso comes back. Today we got to see. Got to see Bill Mott's horse Hofburg win. So these horses will step forward. We'll see what happens. We'll see how they fare against older horses in the fall in the Breeders' Cup and beyond and onto that new $12 million race in Dubai. Who goes where? Now, what those horses do over the coming months will help, I believe, has the potential to help significantly improve the historical view of this horse. Although I think what he's done puts him in a class that's pretty much by himself.
I remember the two, and by the way, we're having trouble connecting with Mike Smith, if you couldn't tell why we're stalling, but we'll continue talking
we'll
about
try
Justify.
To be as fascinating as Mike.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Mike
stretch.
Would have been a lot better, but yeah. but you know, we going into the 2015 Triple Crown, we thought that was a very strong crop, and I think that proved to be out. Not just, you know, American Pharoah was beat, the Frosteds of the world, Dortmund, Firing Line, those were good
horses.
Horses. And this year's group was considered to be one of the toughest and fastest groups of all time. And Justify handled it. I think he just made them look foolish, personally. Trying to keep up with a fast horse, a dominant athlete, is heartbreaking for some. And so Sundays, as you said, as the year goes on, and I think it starts, you know, let's just say today.
More or less
it
this weekend.
Today.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
With Hofburg moving forward in the Curlin today, we have the Jim Dandy tomorrow with Vino Rosso. Tenfold's an exciting prospect.
Absolutely.
For me.
Ran huge in the previous.
You know, Flame Away's a good horse. I know Wayne Lucas has been working hard with Sporting Chance, trying to get him together. That horse has talent. Just trying to get him to figure out. And then Sunday with the Haskell, the Haskell on Sunday is a fabulous race with Good Magic getting back on track. Bravazo has been such a tough, gritty competitor. And then you've got a late on the scene horse from California and Peter Urton and Core Beliefs, who's intriguing. You know, did not nominate to the Triple Crown, but they've brought him along slowly, and he's
did
coming
run
together.
Against Justify earlier in the year.
Yes, he did. Yes, he tried to keep up with
them. Yeah.
So it's going to be an awfully a good group. But who are the – let's continue to fill. I'm trying to think of the older horses now.
Well, look at the Baffert Barn first. I mean,
West Coast?
West Coast would be the first one. That, you know, we haven't seen him for a while, but he would be the first one I'd be thinking of. I mean, we saw him last in Dubai.
Mm-hmm.
Ran second in Dubai over a racetrack that, you know, you look back on everything that's happened since then. And while it was going on, it was a very speed-favoring track. And he had a horse that went right to the front end that day in Thundersnow and just roared away. So that, you know, it was a real possibility. And as strong as West Coast has looked, and he was an outstanding three-year-old the end of last year. And, again, started off well in this year with that race in Dubai, and you've got to think he'll come back and he'll be ready for a big one there. So I mean, there's one guy. How about
Accelerate?
That's where it's going. Going to the Sadler Barn. You've got Accelerate, and who knows what the horse that won last week is going to end up being.
Catalina Cruiser was a nice horse, and you have to respect. I mean, you know, Gary Young told us that he thought that. Catalina Cruiser might be the best horse in the Sadler Barn. At least that's what Sadler conveyed to him. So that's intriguing. We'll find out a little more next week with the Grade 1 Whitney. Mind Your Biscuits is going to attempt to stretch his speed out, going 1.8 mile in there. I think that's a curious move. I would stick with sprinting him myself, but that'll be intriguing.
Another interesting move who I think will end up in there is our old friend McCracken here from Ian Wilkes' barn here at Churchill, which we thought he was going to be a one-turn horse to start the year. And now Ian's gone back toward the mile and an eighth with him, and we both wish he had run in the Stephen Foster handicap. And speaking of the Stephen Foster, we had the winner of the Stephen Foster that will be a... That will be a possible horse to be reckoned with later in the year for Doug O'Neill.
Yeah, it's Pavel. Yeah. And I think he's going to go to that Whitney as well, yeah, along with Yoshida.
Yeah.
Bill Mott, the old Forrester Turf Classic winner, went over to Royal Ascot. It sounds as if they're going to try dirt in the Whitney. And they did that with Good Samaritan, who ran a very good second last year in the Clark Handicap. Hasn't quite panned out this year, but Yoshida's another interesting prospect. So there's a lot on the horizon.
There's still plenty of time between now and Breeders' Cup for these horses to step forward, but much excitement for the three-year-olds. And as we mentioned, the three-year-old extravaganza is underway with today's race at Saratoga and the win by Hofburg. But the big jewel on the weekend comes up Sunday at Monmouth Park, the $1 million Haskell Invitational. And the man who will be at the microphone calling the action in the Haskell and the return of Kentucky Derby runner-up Good Magic is our friend Frank Miramati, who joins us via telephone from Monmouth Park. Frank, thanks for joining us here on Inside Churchill Downs.
It's my absolute honor to be on the air with you. Thanks for having me.
Good to have you here. You're here with John Asher and Darren Rogers. And big weekend coming up at Monmouth. First of all, how's the weather looking up there? let's get that out of the way first before we talk about individual horses. Does it look like it's going to be okay on Sunday?
I sure hope so. We had some clouds today. We were off the turf, so it must have rained in the middle of the night. And I know that the big focus, of course, is our Sunday program. But hopefully, we've actually had some decent luck with the weather this year. It started off just like last year when we were getting seemingly perfect weather Monday through Friday. When we were running on the weekends, we were getting nailed. But hopefully Mother Nature will be on our side and we won't see anything like what Saratoga looked at today.
Frank's one of the elite race callers in our business. And, everybody, I know all you guys, all the good announcers, all the great announcers I know, how you focus on your work every day, but you get up like any great athlete or any great announcer, any great professional, you get up for the biggest races. It's a pretty big one coming up this weekend in the Haskell.
It's a big race, and it's something that to this day I still get very nervous for the big race, and I try to calm myself down. And I had the privilege of calling 4 Arkansas Derbies, and I could tell you I was trembling up there, and I try to tell myself, pretend this is a $5,000 claiming race going 9 furlongs. Remember... Excuse me. Remember that this is your track. Calm down, young man. That's what I try to tell myself. And one of the things about Travis Stone, who calls your races, it was astonishing to me how calm he was calling his first Super Derby and how he has handled these Kentucky Derbies. I've watched all the videos that you've put on. He's a young man, and he just seemingly cannot get rattled. And I find that an amazing trait that he has. So
you
nervous, but it's a good adrenaline.
Frank, you do know his trick. He watches Seinfeld episodes between races on Derby Day.
That's what he's supposed to do. You're supposed to just get – that's what I said. I should be texting people as they get to the gate and just pretend, oops, I got to go. I got to get back to work. If you start thinking about it too much and worrying about stumbling over that little word, you're going to get rattled, and I've been rattled in a big race before, and it's not fun. I can promise you that. You start sweating bullets.
Frank, before we start talking about the Haskell on Sunday, I did want to touch on a congratulations. You're nearing 1 year of being cancer free. I know that was a scary, scary time for you in 2016 and 2017. You had surgery for colon cancer, and you've been through quite an ordeal. It's great to have you back at the mic, and you sound dynamite.
I really appreciate those kind words, and by God's grace, I'm on the right side of the soil, and I've had some amazing medical care and some people that came into my life at the right time to introduce me to the opportunity to get my second surgery, which was a very important one, in November of 2016 after the emergency surgery in August, to the right place. And it's when I think about those things, it's really remarkable. And to go through the chemotherapy, I know that it was very important to be positive, and it's very easy to get depressed and get down, but you have to fight this stuff off with not only the medicine, but mentally. And I just didn't want to miss work. And I returned after my first surgery well too early, but I had to do it because I just felt I have to get back into the groove, and my body has responded. And so I've got about half a colon left, and I can tell you, thank God it works fine, and everything's going very well for me. And only thing I had, just to make sure nothing went too smoothly, I had a little hernia that developed as a result of the second surgery. So I had a hernia surgery a couple of months ago. And let me tell you, that's no fun either.
Oh,
but that was very simple and child's play compared to the first. But I really appreciate what you're saying. And I believe in the power of prayer. And I know a lot of people have prayed for my well-being. And those prayers have been answered. And we're just fighting every day and feeling good about it.
And I can speak for the three of us right now. Neither one of us likes to go to the doctor. And I remember correctly, being told the story a couple of years ago, you were in the announcer's booth. Wasn't it right after calling your first Haskell and you started having some stomach issues? And wasn't it the track president forced you to go see a doctor?
What happened was it was the second Haskell had just been run,
yeah.
And it was a couple of weeks after my second half. So the first one was 2015, American Pharoah won it, and then the next year, I was having major stomach cramps, and I didn't know if I was in pain, and I went and saw the track doctor, and he told me to come with him to the hospital, and I blew that off because I didn't want to see the track doctor, but I was in so much pain. And then the next day, I was again in pain, and he said, listen, you need to come and look at this, and I'm like, nah, I'm okay. And I called a wrong horse in a race, and right when he heard that call, he picked up the phone and called me. Said, "That's it. You're coming with me tonight." And the funny thing about that was, it wasn't that egregious of a mistake because I hadn't really memorized the field because I was feeling so badly. It was the 5 and the 9 head and head, so it wasn't like I was completely on another galaxy. And I just thought the one of them was the other, and the 9 saddle towel looks a lot like the 5. Mm-hmm. So to me, it wasn't like I was calling names from a different race or anything. It was good of him to notice that had happened, and he thought it was a lot more dramatic than it really was. And then I remember that day there was a 2-year-old race at Saratoga after our last race was over. And to give you an idea, I kind of blew off going downstairs anyway. I wanted to see if they were going to disqualify this horse. I wasn't even involved in the race. I was just it was a race where the show plungers had showed up. Edgar Prado was riding the horse. I don't remember who it was. I said, I wonder if they're going to take this horse down. I didn't even bet on the race. And I just was waiting. And when I walked downstairs and got to the elevator, the lady from first aid was there. She says, Dr. Chinichi is waiting for you. What are you doing? And so he took me to a hospital, and the next day I had a 5-hour surgery. So and then last year at the Haskell, one of the doctors, the second surgeon, came upstairs, and he had always told me that my particular surgery was something that will impact him forever. It was such a complicated surgery. And I said, Doc, you got to tell me one day what was going on in there. Yeah. And he said, one day over a couple of drinks. Well, he shows up last year with a hat backwards, shorts, and a beer in his hand. I said, Doc, it's time to tell me what was going on. And he was explaining how hard it was to get this tumor out of me. And he said, imagine this. He said, 2 guys elbow deep inside you. I said, Doc, I've heard enough. That's
funny.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Your story is spoken like A true racetracker, and B, a true male. So didn't pay attention to absolutely the last second, but it's and we've all had our bumps in the road on the health road the last few years, and although not the gravity of yours, we appreciate what you've gone through, and glad you're here with us and feeling so well.
Thank you. And
here we go on another big weekend.
Yeah, yeah. We're talking with Frank Miramonte, track announcer of Monmouth Park. He's calling Sunday's $1 million Haskell Invitational. We don't have Justify, but we do have Good Magic. And a few weeks ago, we had John White on the radio show talking about the second half of the season. And he really thinks Good Magic is that horse, along with Justify stablemate McKenzie, as the top 3-year-olds that will emerge at season's end. Give us your thoughts on Good Magic.
Well, I'm so honored that you called me on your radio show, so I can tell you that I think Good Magic is going to win the Haskell Invitational, which is classic. Because, like I said, well, here's some real insight for you. I love the odds-on favorite at Polestar.
That's all right. But it's a free square in pick sixes, right?
It has to be. I mean, let's face it. You saw it right there in front of you, and I've had the privilege of being at 2 Kentucky Derbies, and both times it was nice California connections, California Chrome, and then American Pharoah winning it. And so I know that atmosphere. But when Good Magic took his shot at Justify, it looked like it was going to become a serious showdown. And Justify was simply an incredible athlete to pull away from him.
Mm-hmm.
I think Good Magic is the real deal. It's easy to say now, but I said it back then. He absolutely deserved to be the champion two-year-old. I thought that was a no-brainer. And I'm a West Coast guy, and I'm thinking, come on, guys. Mm-hmm. But you know, the question that I had, and, you know, I'm not exactly, you know, I'm no Darren Rogers when it comes to asking media questions. So I have to host these events, and I've got people in the audience. I almost want to call them up and say, listen, come up here and ask these questions for me. But I was trying to get a comment from Chad. Because in my mind, this horse really took two gut-wrenching losses. Because sometimes, I've actually joked with Bob Baffert about this, about horses that he's run, and so on and so forth. Like, for example, you know, I told him many years ago that Game On Dude ruined First Dude. Because sometimes when you get into those big battles and lose, I call it the Mike Tyson effect. Once he was knocked out, it wasn't something that you really thought, you know, he was going to ever get. He was never the same. And so the question I had for Chad was, after those losses, how is he doing? And he said, and he admitted he was very knocked out and that he's now come back and he's ready to rebound. And look, Chad Brown's record speaks for itself. The Real Good Magic should absolutely dominate this race and make a statement, I think, as they go to the second half of the year.
This is a horse we looked at back before the Derby. You know, he came back a little disappointing his first race back after that two-year-old season, But, of course, won the Bluegrass coming in and ran the bang-up race in the Kentucky Derby and ran very well in the Preakness Stakes. He just had the bad fortune to be trying to catch a Triple Crown winner and ran out of gas to finish fourth. But throughout the spring, throughout the weeks leading up to the Derby, days leading up to the Derby, you could just tell from Chad's body language that this horse could not have been doing any better, that he was doing exactly what he wanted him to do. And if it was good enough, great. If it was not good enough, he still thought he was going to run his race. And obviously he has. And as you were saying, you know, those two races were terrific. Again, the Preakness and that most unusual Preakness is running the fog and running up there, challenging the eventual Triple Crown winner all the way around there and fading a bit to fourth, but running a huge race was a big, big effort. So if he's on his game, and I know you've looked closely at this race, he's going to see some familiar foes in there. You'll see Bravazo in there, who of course ran all three Triple Crown races. But if he runs his best race, he'll be tough in there. Who in your view is the major opponent? Are the major foes in the Haskell for Good Magic?
I'll tell you, I'm impressed with Core Beliefs. I think he's just matured. I always look at lightly raced horses very closely. I've liked the way he matured. I thought he was home free in the Peter Pan before he got overhauled. Then he comes in with that game victory last time out. I would think that for me, if I was, you know, people have asked me, what do you think? I said, I think Good Magic will win. I think Core Beliefs will be second. But how many times have we counted out Dwayne Lucas in these big races? And when will we learn? By the way, I'll tell you both. People ask me the highlight of my announcing career, what was my favorite moment? And I will say the truth, which is this. It was All-Star Announcers Day in 2000 at Churchill Downs. It was my first visit ever there, and I got to call two races. It was such a fun day for me. But the next day in the Breeders' Cup, Dwayne taught us once again who the master was with the big long shot. I think it was Spain. That won at some ridiculous price.
Yeah.
And how many times since then has he schooled the public who throws him out? And I'm throwing Bravazo right out, so guess what? He'll probably come and teach me a lesson. I'll have to call it live, and that'll be a lot of fun because – I don't like Dwayne Lucas. I love that man.
And Wayne is going pretty well right now. Got a couple wins in Saratoga. He says you know, the horses are all running well. Got a couple of you know, two-year-olds that have jumped up running well. He runs tomorrow at Saratoga in the Vanderbilt. So
Sporting Chance. With Warriors Club. Yeah.
Warriors Club from the Churchill Downs Racing Club. So yeah. Wayne is, as you said. If you're betting against Dwayne Lucas lifetime, you're not in good shape.
Yeah, he'll school you and you know, Thunder Gulch. You know, I remember that was my first year at Hialeah. I was watching I was in there in the announcer's booth and watching Thunder Gulch. I had the entry in Thunder Gulch galloped home. His quotes post race is what made me love him so much because you just sit back and you smile. Even when he beats you, you just have to smile, you know, and that's what makes him so much fun. The quotes to the media, and Darren's heard many of them, so have you, John. Those are some epics.
Back to Sunday's race. So you mentioned the horses you view as major contenders. Is there anybody in there you think could jump up and throw a surprise? Who is most eligible to throw a big surprise at you, if not to win it, to land on the board at a big price?
Of the rest of them, I think that it's going to go that way. Golden Brown ran very well on the turf. I liked his effort, but I just don't think he's going to come back in 2 weeks and do this. I think Roaming Union is overmatched in here. Navy Commander, he'll go out there and fight for the lead. I just don't see him being able to do the same thing he did in the long back. To me, I really believe it's going to be a formful result. If there's going to be a surprise, I think it would be Core Beliefs. But I don't see the big long shots in here. I really believe the three big double-digit horses on the morning line, I think they're overmatched. Lone Sailor obviously beaten the nose by Core Beliefs and was right there in the Preakness, just a couple lengths behind them. To me, I think that the top four choices will finish 1, 2, 3, 4. That's my opinion.
So Frank Miramati will be calling the Haskell on Sunday. It goes at 5:45. It'll air on NBC from 5 until 6 p.m. But the Haskell is one of six stakes races on the card. The parade begins with their seventh race, races 7 through 12 with the Oceanport. But so, Frank, within that sequence, I know you've got I think there's a pick six and an all-stakes pick four. You've got a lot of interesting races going on. I don't want to throw you a curveball or anything, but do you have a horse that might be a price within that sequence that horses that our fans might be able to gamble on?
Absolutely, and that would come in race 11 right before the Haskell. It's a race called the Wolf Hill. It's going to be a great betting race. I was talking to our racing secretary, John Himes, about this race, and he was telling me, he gave me some lofty expectations for the handle on this race because it's going to be very competitive and you're going to get paid whoever you bet on in here. I like a horse named Dubini. I absolutely am a huge fan of this horse. I've called his three wins over the Monmouth course. And let me tell you, if he gets a clear path and he's in striking range late, he'll run over every one of these horses. He's a very, very talented horse. He's five now, and I loved him when he ran at Penn National. And, in fact, once he started firing around the far turn, I said to the people next to me, I said, this horse will blow right by them now, and he was 8-1. He's 8-1 on the morning line again, and he was held off by Oak Bluffs, who's another absolute professional who I love over these years because I've called many of his wins too. I really believe Dubini is better, though, and these kind of races are oftentimes decided with trouble notes, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. I'm a big fan of Kendra Carmouche. I think he brings a tremendous energy to people and horses, and I think that's part of the reason he's so successful as a jockey. And look out for Dubini because he has his last 16th of a mile. Go watch some of his replays at Monmouth Park and just watch the way he finishes. It's like he knows where that wire is, and he comes rolling, and I don't care what's in front of him. They're in danger of getting mowed up.
So Sunday at Monmouth Park, race 11, number 5, Dubini, 8-1 on the morning line. And as you said, perfect in three starts at Monmouth. He's 4-for-8 at the 5.5 furlong distance, 4-for-10 on the turf. This is appetizing. I like this. This is good. This is 12 horse field, and like you said, going 5.5 furlongs on turf, it'll be a great betting race. Great betting race.
It really will. And I think sometimes the horses that have performed well locally get overlooked, regardless of where they are.
Mm-hmm.
But when he took that road trip to Penn National, we were all watching him closely, and he fired that day. And then I'm just going to give him an excuse last time out. As we all know, these horses will humble us every 30 minutes or so when they're running. When we think we have it all figured out, that's the worst possible time. But this horse, the price is right. If you get that price and you probably get a little better than 8-1, it's worth taking a shot, no question.
Hey, talk a little bit about the second race in the stakes sequence, race 8, the Monmouth Cup, grade 3 event, 150,000 on the line. Three-year-olds and up are going 1 1/8. What a pro. I've always loved horses like Paige McKinney for Mary Epler. Now, a little more of a Maryland-based horse, but what a pro, winning 22 of 57 starts and $1.8 million. I love old-school horses like this.
You're not alone, my friend. I'm a big fan of his. And I think I called him a true professional when he won the Salvatore Mile with that big kick. He came flying late and was able to get up and catch a Jorge Navarro horse. That doesn't happen often, by the way, in case you watch Monmouth Park.
No joke.
It's just not I think the double today paid $3.20, the early double today. It was quite a lot of value there. Paige McKinney, I can't help but root for him. I don't know Mary Epler. I've never met her, but I know that she's done a great job. And I you know what? I like these kind of horses, even when they're, like, if there's a race. I was at Saratoga during the early part of this week, and there was a race with 2 9-year-olds in there, and it was a much lower-level race. I love seeing horses who are older that still like what they do, because that's what it's all about. And it reminds me of the days growing up in Southern California and going to the track and seeing some of those old veterans that stuck around. And then, you know, Mike Mitchell had them, or Bobby Frankel had them, and it takes a lot of work to keep these horses happy and successful. And Paige McKinney last time just had no chance in that race. There was no pace in there. Harlan Punch, who, when he's good, is very good, went to the lead. That race was over in about 5 seconds. He went to the lead and just ambled around there, and Paige McKinney had no chance of ever catching him. But he was game-winning the time before, and he likes this distance. I can't help but root for him because that's my kind of horse too.
Another horse right up those out, right up that similar line, just reminded me of it. Running tomorrow at Del Mar in the 7th race, the Cowbred Stake, but Soy Fett, a 10-year-old gelding, who just keeps going and going, and he sprung a victory last time out at Los Alamitos in the Bertrando for his 15th win in 59 starts. He's earned $1 million the hard way. I love old school knocking horses.
Me too. I had the privilege of calling Soy Fett when he won a race at Los Alamitos a few years ago.
Yeah. So who's your favorite horse you've called? And I think I know the answer to this.
It has to be, but it was Tiz Now for a long time, because when you know, that was my first grade one, and I saw him, and I actually picked Commendable for D. Wayne Lucas that year. But let's put it this way. When I came to Churchill Downs and that I saw that Breeders' Cup Classic, I could barely talk the next day. And those race calls from the next day when I flew back were not very good. It was like someone with laryngitis. I was screaming for him so hard to win that, because you become attached to them when you call them. You can't help it, right? But American Pharoah, just that was just that Arkansas Derby performance. You know, when he came out, I knew he was really serious when he came to the Rebel and the Zayats showed up, because it's hard to get them to fly into Arkansas.
Right.
And when I saw them there, in fact, it was raining that day, and someone taught me a shortcut to cut all the way across the roof to get. And I went there, and specifically between races, one early in the day, I wanted to just thank them for coming out. And I just knew, wait a minute, if you're coming out here to watch this horse in the Rebel, this thing must be something really special. And we know that Bob knows how to pinpoint, but that Arkansas Derby performance was one for the ages. That was just, yeah. I really felt in my heart that he was going to win the Triple Crown. And I'll tell you guys a funny story. The Zayats invited me to hang out with them for the whole week, which was a great experience. And to come out there and to see that in the Kentucky Derby was incredible. And I got to witness a lot of their own stuff happening on a personal level. And it was so much fun watching that workout, you know, the week before. But we were at Windstar Farm, and Elliot Walden was driving. And, of course, he has their stallions and so on. And I said, and I was sitting in the back seat, and I said, let me ask you a question, Elliot. Do you think he's going to break the track record on Saturday? And Elliot just looked in the rearview mirror right at me, and he just looked at me. He didn't even say anything. And I didn't even know what the track record was. But I was just thinking, like, this horse is so good. And I was trying to tell those guys, I know you've had these close calls. This horse is going to take care of this for you. Don't even worry. And it got to the point where one time Sobey and Mr. Zayat were there, and they kind of looked at each other. And they taught me, they told me something, which was an Egyptian proverb. And there's a thing saying keep your candle covered. And I just didn't want them to think suddenly I was the KOD, the kiss of death on this horse. I said, I'm telling you guys, you're fine. But I respect what you're saying. I'm not going to say another word about this. And meanwhile, he was all out to win the Derby, right?
Yeah.
But that was calling that horse in the Arkansas Derby had to be my favorite horse. There's no question.
Where do you stand on the debate of who was better, Justify or American Pharoah?
I don't think he would have warmed American Pharoah up, in my opinion.
Wow.
And I love Justify.
Yeah.
I think American Pharoah would have blitzed him. Wow. I mean, I hate to say that, but it's just my own opinion, and that's what makes this game fun. I love to compare horses of different eras.
Yep.
And things like that. To me, let's put it this way. I was not positive Justify was going to win the Belmont Stakes, and you know I'm a big Bob Baffert fan, and Bob told me at the CTBA award, he didn't tell me this was a Derby horse, but he had told me a great joke about Brad McKenzie, may he rest in peace, and and then he texted me and said, hey, don't tell that. I said, I'm not going to tell that, but why don't you give me a winner, please? And he said, I'm going to run a maiden on Sunday. He said, if he runs, you can bet what you want on him. And I said, well, have the clockers seen him? Is he out there? He goes, oh, they know. I said, all right, so he'll be like 4-5, 3-5. And he looked at me and he goes, believe me, it's the second best horse in my barn. Now, at this time, he's got West Coast in his barn. I'm thinking this horse hasn't even run yet.
Yeah.
So he tipped me off to that horse, and he tipped me off to Arrogate before his debut. I didn't see the text till after the race. I called. Arrogate's only lost for a long time until later in his career when he debuted at Los Al. But to me, as brilliant as Justify was, American Pharoah was in another league. I hate to say that because you don't want to insult people and all that, but, you know, it's just one man's opinion. I've been wrong many, many times.
You know his new toy is in on Sunday.
That's what I hear.
We talked about it on the show. Yeah, Roadster. We talked about it last week. We had Clocker Gary Young on the show. And, race six on Sunday. Drew the rail with Mike Smith aboard, 5-2 on the line. But I don't think we're going to give 5-2 on Roadster on Sunday.
Yeah, I don't even think you're going to get 2-5, actually, if you flip it around. I mean, with that word. We've heard some things about him.
We're talking with Frank Miramati, the announcer at Monmouth Park, who will be calling the Haskell Invitational this weekend. Frank, speaking of opinions, again, you got a lot of attractive races on Sunday, a lot of eyeballs going to be on Monmouth Park. For somebody who's new to watching races there, if you could point out one or two things in your experience there at the racetrack that a handicapper needs to look out for or a trend they need to look at, anything that jumps to mind for you.
I can tell you this. I've always felt that the whole topic of bias is one of the most overrated, ridiculous things in racing. That said, this meet, until about 3 weeks ago, it was historically always great to be on the inside and showing speed at Monmouth. But for this meet, until about 3 weeks ago, that was actually not the case. Brad Thomas and the people who watch the Monmouth Signal, you'll see him. He's got those big, very unique glasses on. Is an absolute genius. And he is, I mean, if you follow his picks, you will be doing yourself a service. So the first thing I'll say is go to monmouthpark.com and look at Brad Thomas's picks every race. I will tell you this. There is one chink in his armor, and that is he will never pick the favorite. And I really don't like that because there are and so when I do the handicapping seminars with him on Sunday, I always say, Brad, what about the favorite here? I always want to find out because you always want to know what the morning line person is thinking about that horse. But Brad will not pick. He didn't pick American Pharoah in the Haskell, to give you an idea. I think he's picked one or two favorites in 10 years, which I do not like, but he tries to say he wants to offer value. So you've got to look at his top three picks and pay attention. If you do that in multi-race wagers, you will do well. But as far as betting on Monmouth, when we interviewed Chad Brown during that press conference, I asked him about, you know, that I know he wasn't happy to be on the lead, and here's what he said. He said, the only thing I know is, we will not be on the lead and on the rail in this race. And I'm thinking to myself, I'd love to, like, he's, you know, I'm a fan of Good Magic. And as a fan of Monmouth Park, we want the grade one, you know, winners to, I want the most likely winner and the most established horse to win all these big races. And I want to say to him, Chad, you might want to get toward that rail ASAP because the rail at Monmouth Park is golden again. And it's a very good place to be. And so what I would say to the fans as far as watching our races, the last 3-4 weeks, and Brad confirms this, so I don't really – I'm watching the races every day, but Brad explained that, you know, he goes out there and walks the track, and I'm thinking, like, this guy's like a scientist.
Yeah.
But he pays attention, and he's watching, and right now the rail on the main track and speed, like it has been most of the years. But the only other place I've ever seen speed this dominant, two places, Keeneland in its day, and then the Alameda County Fair in Pleasanton. I mean, that thing is the biggest inside thing I've ever seen. You're on the outside there. Best of luck to you. And you can watch those races later and capitalize when those horses run back, whether they run too well or too poorly. That's a good angle to look at, too. So there's a little bonus coverage for you. Look at horses at Pleasanton when you're watching those California races.
Great, Frank. So much. Thank you so much for being with us. Wish you the best every day, of course, but wish you a big day on Haskell Day and a great call and a great horse race. And great to have you with us. We've broken our maiden here. We've got you here for the first time. We look forward to it not too far down the road. All right, buddy?
Thanks, pal.
I appreciate both of you so much and appreciate you supporting Monmouth Park.
All right. Frank Miramonte.
Take care.
Track announcer at Monmouth Park. We had Mike Smith scheduled early in the show, but we had trouble connecting with him. But we've got him now. Better late than never. Mike, good afternoon out in Southern California. Sorry we missed you, pal.
Sorry about that. I apologize. I had my phone on silent. I never heard it.
Well, my apologies. Hopefully, maybe we can get a rain check and maybe get you connect with you next week. But I did want to get you. We're running near the top of the show with the Reds baseball right around the corner. But wanted to ask you about your thoughts on Justify. It's obviously a disappointment that. You know, we're not going to be able to see him race again. But, boy, what a special horse he was for that brief period.
Boy, what a way to go out. I mean, he owes no one nothing, and I can't ask any more of him. I mean, he basically not only topped my career off, but he made my life. it's life-changing when you're blessed enough to pull something like that off, and he's just an incredible, incredible horse. It takes a really, really great horse to do what he did, and he's that, and maybe even more. I honestly don't think we've seen the best of him. It's too bad that it happened like it did. But in saying all that, he never did nothing wrong, and he went out a winner. You look at a horse that was third to him, Hoffelsberg, come back today in the Curling Stakes at Saratoga and romped, won by about 7 or 8. So that goes to show you how good that 3-year-old crop was.
The one good thing about being in the Bob Baffert barn, you've always got new toys to play with. We had our friend Gary Young on the show last week, and he told us a little bit about Roadster. I know he's debuting on Sunday. You did draw the rail. Tell us about the time you worked him, and he told us he looked at you and your eyes got real wide. Is he a promising young colt?
He certainly is. I mean, he's doing everything that you could, he's giving you all the signs anyway that he's that kind of horse in the morning anyway, so we'll see what happens in the afternoon. But if anything, I mean, with the only bad thing was he did draw the rail, but I believe he's quick enough, Darren. If he gets away halfway decent, Bob's got him ready. As you all know, Bob's just brilliant with these babies as well. So yeah, I'm excited about riding him, and we'll see what happens.
Well, and you got a big weekend with Unique Bella running, American yeah. Anthem. Tell us about American Anthem. We saw him here at Churchill come back for his first race. I just think he has a chance to be one of the top sprinters in the country, but it won't be an easy test going up against Roy H. in the Bing Crosby.
Yeah, I totally agree. Of course, Roy H. is a really nice horse, but that's what he's wanted to do all along. The 6 furlongs to 7. He'd get a mile as well, but after that, he just never really seemed to want to go quite that far. But I think he could be a very, very good sprinter. By the end of the year, we might have him just right for the Breeders' Cup sprint, hopefully, over there at Churchill. And we already know he likes it there, so that's a big plus.
Mike, it's John. I got a quick question about winning the Triple Crown and all you've been able to do, not only in your Hall of Fame career, but especially this burst at the age of 52. The late Lynn Whiting talked about winning his Derby with Lily 2 years ago. He said that Derby never washes off of you, he said. So what does a Triple Crown do for you? How has that affected your life?
It is truly life-changing. I never expected it to be quite like this. I mean, it's everywhere you go, everyone seems to all of a sudden know you.
Yeah.
Crazy. But it's wonderful, and I'm still floating in it. It's one of those things that anytime someone brings it up or you think about it, you can't help but get that big smile on your face. And life-changing. But let me tell you, it really is.
Well, you've been absolutely wonderful. I know you have an autograph session tomorrow at Del Mar. They're going to parade Justify one last time. I know, and I appreciate you jumping on the show with us because you get tons and tons of requests. Maybe we can spend a little longer visit in a few weeks down the road.
I'm sorry, I missed the call earlier, but I would love that. And again, I'd like, I really want to thank Bob and Winstar and China Horse and the club and the whole group. I mean, there's so many of them. I can't name them all.
Don't forget the Starlight folks here in Louisville.
Yeah, exactly. Starlight. I was just with Jack the other day, actually, when I was at Saratoga, and just the whole crew, man. What a run! And I just, I'm so blessed and so thankful and grateful, and we're going to parade him here, and it's going to be a nice way to say goodbye.
Well, Mike, thanks again for joining us, and good luck this weekend, and we'll catch up in a couple weeks. Let's make
Sounds
a plan.
Good.
Okay, pal.
Sounds great. Yeah, just call me anytime.
You got it. All right. Hall of Fame jockey Mike Smith, class act. I mean, he's just handled this great. We've got Reds baseball right around the corner. Don't worry, Reds fans. It's coming on. It's coming on. Magic might let us run over just a little bit. We've got about a minute left. Thanks to Frank Miramati for joining us previewing Sunday's Haskell. Thanks for the quick visit from Mike Smith. And then a big weekend on tap with starts tomorrow morning, by the way, the King George
yes.
and Queen Elizabeth at Ascot.
Had a little rain at Ascot yesterday, so
yes,
factor that in.
10:40 a.m., these horses could show up for the Breeders' Cup turf. And got the Amsterdam at Saratoga, the A.G. Vanderbilt with Warriors Club, the Bowling Green, the Jim Dandy, and then the Bing Crosby. Got some two-year-old races. It's Chasing Yesterday, by the way, runs tomorrow. Gary Young talked to us about it last week, but Chasing Yesterday is the half to Triple Crown winner, American Pharoah. She debuts in race one at Del Mar tomorrow. So, anyway, thanks again for joining us, talking horse racing. Thanks to Magic Mike. For John Asher, I'm Darren Rogers. We'll see you next week on Inside Churchill Downs on ESPN 680 105.7.